Pastor Shelley and I were having a conversation about our last 40 years together while we were on an overnight at anniversary getaway bed and breakfast that the church got for us, I think Christmas time, right? Someone. Church anniversary. So we finally got up there and got away to that. And I told her maybe I should have been a farmer. And she said that she swore early on in her life that she would never marry a farmer. Because all they did was work all day long, 7 days a week, and they never got a break. And then she got that look on her face like, we're in the ministry. And I said to her, I said, well, the Bible tells us that there's three different roles in the ministry. It talks about being a farmer or a soldier or an athlete. Which one are you? This morning, you're going to try to figure that out. Then we started considering, as we were talking about the differences between the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. Before we go on, I'd like to read a story that I spotted about her not wanting to marry a farmer, and I think this is the perfect solution. It's a letter. It says, from Don Genero to the Honorable Secretary of Agriculture, Washington, D.C. Dear sir, my friend Dan Hansen over at Honey Creek, Iowa, received a check for $1,000 from the government for, quote, not raising hogs, unquote. So I want to go into the not raising hogs business next year. What I want to know is, in your opinion, what is the best kind of farm not to raise hogs on? And what is the best breed of hogs not to raise? I want to be sure that I approach this endeavor in keeping with all government policies. As I see it, the hardest part of not raising hogs program is keeping an accurate inventory of how many hogs I haven't raised. My friend Hansen is very joyful about the future of the business. He's been raising hogs all his life, and the best he ever made on them was $422.90 in 1998, until this year when he got your check for $1,000 for not raising 50 hogs. So if I get $1,000 for not raising 50 hogs, then would I get $2,000 for not raising 100 hogs? I plan on operating a small scale first, holding myself to about 4,000 not raised the first year, which would bring in about $80,000, then I can afford to buy a used airplane. Be assured, Mr. Secretary, that you'll have my vote in any upcoming elections. Patriotically yours, Don Genero. P.S. Also, would you please notify me when you plan to give out that free cheese again? So, I think I'm going into the not raising hogs business. If you had to pick one type of ministry, would you rather be a soldier, an athlete, or a farmer? 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier in Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. I remember when I was in the military, we would say, when I get back in the world, I'm going to do such and such. We were still technically in the world, you know, but the world had no legal jurisdiction over us. The military rules were different. Our military laws were different. Our military standards were different. So we talked about being in the world, going back to the world. But Jesus said something similar in John 15, 19. He said, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Thanks. Some of you are old enough to remember when some of the soldiers returned home and they were spit upon and called horrible names from peace protesters, people that thought they could create a world of peace without the Prince of Peace. So soldier is one of the options this morning. And which one are you? How about an athlete? Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Of course, that's talking about our whole life. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. There are no shortcuts or back doors into heaven. There are spirit rules out there that apply to all of us, everybody, whether they follow God or not. They're spiritual laws. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now about the farmer. Mark 4:14 says, the farmer sows the word. Matthew 9:37 and 38 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. James 5:7, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. Of course, that talks about revival, you know. You know, they had two seasons of rain. One would produce the plant, and then it'd be dry for a while. If you didn't have that second rain, you didn't get any fruit on the plant or grain on the plant. You needed both of them. Otherwise, you just have all plants. I planted tomatoes in my greenhouse at our house, and I thought, this is going to be great. I had 4 or 5 foot tall tomato plants, not a single tomato. Of course, it needed to be pollinated, and there was no bees inside because Shelly's chasing them around with her bee can. But I had huge, gorgeous green tomato plants, and not one tomato kind of lost its point. But the first and the second rains, one is for the plant production to get everything ready. The second one causes the fruit to come forth. So Christians are portrayed as soldiers, athletes, and farmers. Which one are you? Shelley had some excellent points, so I mixed them in with my own. Like what they wear. Soldiers wear armor. Helmets. I mean, today's soldiers, they've got ear protection, knee protection, eye protection. They don't even look like they can move, but they've got everything just about covered. And they carry weapons for both offensive and defensive purposes, kind of like spiritual warfare. An athlete wears the bare minimum to function. Maybe shorts and a headband to keep the sweat out of his eyes. Kind of like stripping away everything, like sin that so easily entangles us, or the flesh, or the distractions, or anything else that you added to your life that God didn't add. It'd be good for you to go through an inventory of your life. And if you're doing a lot of stuff and feeling overwhelmed and exhausted, you need to ask yourself, did God tell me to do all this stuff or not? Or did I just pile it on my plate? Because if you're wiped out and stretched to the limit, there are probably some things that you thought were good or you made commitments to that have been added to that whole life schedule. Slows you down getting to the finish line. A farmer is different than the soldier who's covered with everything and the athlete who's covered with literally very little to nothing. A farmer's in between and wears what's necessary and practical, from boots to gloves to coveralls to a hat. Like a person who needs to simply be practical and protect themselves in the day-to-day requirements of the season that he's in. Let's look at time frame. A soldier doesn't always know when the battle is over, or the campaign is over, or the invasion is over, or the war is over. They don't always know. They have to keep going until somebody tells them to stop. And sometimes it's been many years that they have to go on and on, never knowing when it's going to be over, wondering if it's going to be over next year or next month. And the rumors would fly all over the place. I remember during Vietnam when everybody was said, oh, yes, they're going to sign the peace accords in Paris. Oh, yes, they're going to do it. And the years went by. And went by and went by. We just never knew when it was going to be over. Same way with Afghanistan. It's the longest war we've ever been in. Now it holds the record, and nobody knows the end of that one. So a soldier just keeps going and going and going, never knowing when it's done. If the soldier's wounded, he must heal and get back into the fight. Which one are you? An athlete knows when the race begins and when it's done. It's called the finish line. They throw all effort into a short amount of time, intense amount of time, to compete and complete. If exhaustion or collapse occurs, he must recover quickly and continue to the finish line. We cheer them on. We want them to crawl across the line if they have to, but we want them to get there. But it's all squeezed into, here's the start, there's the finish, where a soldier never knows when it's going to be done. Now, a farmer goes by seasons. They don't always know for sure when to plow or plant or water or harvest. They're kind of sure. They kind of know when it's about time to plow and it's about time to harvest, and they're always checking, seeing how they're doing. So they kind of know where they're at. And when the harvest is ready, you'll see the tractors out in the fields all night long with the headlights on now. They'll work 24 hours a day to get it in. Let's consider pay. 1 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes?" I guess the athlete who fails to finish gets no reward. Yes, I know about participation, trophies for just showing up. Whether you get playing time or sit on the bench, everybody gets a trophy. But the Bible talks about sowing and reaping, about rewards and about treasures, about crowns and special assignments during the millennial kingdom and special clothing in heaven that'll differentiate us. Talks about all of that. There is technically a participation trophy in heaven. There is. It's the crown. There is a crown that's given for just being saved and making it through the gate. So everybody will have a crown. And I don't know if, I'm not a kind of a hat person. I don't think this crown will be a problem. I don't know. I don't even know if there's any weight to it or not. But that's basically the participation. But there's assignments and there's different clothing and such. Not winding up in hell. You get a participation trophy, and some people will be standing there with their crown, smelling like they've just escaped a burning building, but they'll be happy. I know that. You may not care now, but in a million years into heaven, you will care. You'll have wished you could back up and do it again, because it's a one-shot deal here on planet Earth, and if you haven't kicked it into gear or figured it out what you're supposed to do, there's time left. So let's talk about training. Soldiers train a lot. They need to be in physical shape, plus be skilled in their weapons assignment. Plus, they have to be mentally prepared. In other words, they're courage-driven. Athletes train a lot. They need to be physically prepared, but they're more endurance-driven. Farmers need knowledge of timing and tools. They need to recognize the season. They're more knowledge-driven. So you've got the soldier who's courage-driven, the athlete who's endurance-driven, and the farmer who's knowledge-driven. Have you figured out which one you are yet? A soldier is called on to win the war. An athlete is called on to win the trophy. A farmer is called on to bring lunch. A soldier may be asked to sacrifice his life. An athlete may be asked to sacrifice his comfort. A farmer may be asked to sacrifice his time. Which one are you? An athlete who no longer competes used to be an athlete. A retired farmer or retired soldier used to be a farmer or used to be a soldier. A believer that wakes up each day and doesn't believe any particular thing, they've stopped putting their faith to work. They used to be a believer. It's hard to lay claim to a title of, I'm a believer, but you've long since woke up in the morning and started believing anything. You're just trying to get to the end of the day or the end of the week or whatever. You have to wake up every day and believe something, or you'll wind up, oh yeah, I know them. They used to be a believer. I don't want anybody to say that about me. A soldier doesn't stop until he gets his discharge papers. An athlete doesn't stop until he crosses the finish line. A farmer doesn't stop until the last of the harvest is in. A believer doesn't stop until they are looking into Jesus' eyes face to face, surrounded by loved ones, angels cheering their arrival in heaven. They have victory parades for soldiers now. They have victory parades for athletes, or sometimes they call them riots. But so both of those guys have a victory parade. The farmer hangs his hat on the hook, kicks his boots off on the back porch, stretches his soreness out of his back and his shoulders, washes up for dinner, and then someone parades in the mashed potatoes and gravy, and maybe a piece of apple pie for dessert. Which one are you? Some of us, some days, are all three, but most of us are farmers. Bless God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know what I wanted to be. Anybody wanted to be a soldier, wanted to be an athlete, wanted to be a farmer? Most of you didn't want to be farmers. If you grew up on a farm, you go, oh, man, I thought everybody was a farmer when I grew up as a little kid. Later on, I learned out that people had different jobs, like in cities. I just assumed everybody lived on a farm and grew up on a farm. That's all I knew. So when somebody told me that some people aren't farmers, I thought, how could that be? What could they possibly do? Everybody's a farmer. But I didn't like chores. Did anybody here like chores? Did anybody like to get off school and go and do chores? No. And then they get rid of all the animals after you graduate from high school. You go, no! But we're a farmer at heart. There's something inside of us that wants to plant something and see it grow. We may not be planting crops, but some of us have gardens or flowers or plants or whatever. We need to see some change. We need to help it along. We need to be able to put something in something and then coax it and water it and try to get it in the sun and see some results from it. I know that the athlete is kind of a loner, and the soldier, he's one of the many. But the farmer, they depend on him, the one in the middle. I think most of us are farmers of these three, but are called on by God periodically to run a race or to fight a battle, and then we go back to farming when it's all done. Praise God. So, honey, I think you're married to a farmer anyway, so I don't know how to get around that one. So, praise God. We'll have mashed potatoes later, right? Heavenly Father, your word is true. We believe it. We receive it. You are wonderful. You've called us and assigned us, and we receive our assignment, our grace, the gift, the callings. We answer them, Lord, to do our best to do what you've called us to do, to your glory forever. May each person here discover the gifts and the callings inside of them at an early age. Each one of them, if they have an unfinished assignment, bring it to their remembrance. May your will be done and completed in their life. You see ahead. You've been to the future and you're back already. You've seen it, Lord. May the callings on the inside of them increase day by day from here on to the very end. praise your holy name. Amen.